If just thinking about your bills makes you feel confused and disorientated, like your head is full of raspberry jelly, then you need Monzo. Download your new favorite bank and pay bills from custom pots. Money never felt like Monzo. UK residents, T's and C's apply.
You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment. Last week on the Glass Cannon podcast,
two little creatures that have the body of a snake, but with several arms and legs, and they're holding quills and pens, and
they say, "We are the secretaries to the gardeners. Do you have an appointment? Because that way is barred to only people who have an appointment." But
I'm gonna open the door,
and they attack.
Oh man!
I am going to spell strike.
Yeah, there you go.
With my katana, and I whiff.
Oh, come on!
No.
Wait, say it.
13. Ugh. There's no way that hits.
Attack with kukri. Terrible.
Oh, Barnes.
Miss.
Oh my gosh! Oh, like the first one of you that gets to like 10 successful hits gets the rune.
I'm gonna parlay Matthew's hits and Sydney under 5 by the time Matthew hits it.
I'm so confused. You're speaking another language.
18 to hit.
18 hits.
Nice. Oh, that's one.
Oh. Nice.
She's thrusting her katana into...
That's one! Oh my god!
Please, I didn't mean any harm.
What's behind this door?
The door here.
Yes.
Leads to the grove.
You see three humanoid-like figures. And this massive call-like headdress of bone. And they walk towards you.
The adventure continues. Now.
Cannon Podcast. If you are watching this live on YouTube, that means you're not at Gen Con. Probably not. Or maybe you didn't get tickets to Glass Cannon Live, which is also happening right now at Helium Comedy Club. It's sold out. So it wouldn't surprise me if you didn't get tickets. But it's weird if you're at Indy and you didn't get tickets and you're in your hotel room watching this. But if you are, thanks for being a super fan. Sydney, thanks for dressing silly.
Yeah.
Another costume day here at the Glass Cannon Network.
What is this?
They will never understand
fashion. I am
fashion.
Wearing a costume
what
as well.
What are you wearing?
Let's all talk about it.
This is our old softball jersey that I found in the attic.
It says O'Brien on the back.
So it's a literal costume.
Stand up and show them.
Yeah, I want to see.
I can't. I have head.
He's just wearing tighty whities.
I'm not wearing pants.
Yeah. Number 10.
Why are you number 10?
For the listening audience, to do that, he stood up, kicked his very expensive beer over.
Oh, no.
I didn't even sip it yet.
Wait, did you knock the whole beer over?
It's almost gone.
Oh, no.
CJ, throw one over.
Throw one over the set.
I'm sweating because I'm laughing so much already. God. I'm going to have to take this off because...
What is that? Is that for like a scarecrow?
No, did you steal that off a scarecrow?
You look like...
Yeah, let's go in a circle. What do I look like?
You look like if David Byrne got attacked by a pack of dogs on the way to a gig.
Awesome. I look like a scarecrow. You already did your one.
Yep.
Joe, you didn't get one off. What do I look like?
No. Well,
you look like you just need a helmet with a sun visor on it, and you look like an Imperial Space Marine.
Okay. Matthew, what do I look like?
You look like one of the many lawyers assembled for a hostile takeover in the 80s, but only if it were on Zoom so you could cut off the bottom of it.
Okay. Yeah. If you were suing Morris Day.
I get to go.
No, wait, sorry,
that's what she looks like.
You look like a wonderful, perfect angel who will sue me, but also would party with me.
Yay!
There you go. That's probably the nicest one out of the
out of the group.
Do you just go to a store and close your eyes and see what happens? What is going on?
Or do you look at something and just think, like, what would make everyone around me angry? And then,
why are you angry?
Why angry?
I don't know.
It makes me angry.
That's what makes me even angrier.
So mad. Is it the shoulder pads?
She's trying to do something.
Shoulder pads.
It's shoulder pads.
Driving me insane.
Yeah.
What? It looks like a coat hanger is still in it.
It looks like Diane Carroll.
Yeah. You look extremely uncomfortable. I don't know.
The actual, the correct answer was Skids. I think David Byrne.
I feel very, very comfortable in this. I got this. It's custom made. Somebody makes these like really cool.
Custom made.
Yeah. Really cool.
That's someone.
They call them like
bespoke, tear half of the jacket off.
Yes. Right. They call them like reworked or upcycled. And it's a popular thing.
They don't call them cut with scissors. Like a child got a hold of your clothes.
That ruins someone's
never understand.
A lot of a lot of fashion looks like that.
Yeah,
that's true. But I just thought it was cool, and I like to make everybody smile a little.
I think it's definitely
sure
cool.
It came with the corset and the jacket are a set.
Yeah, it's a set. And it's also Brat Summer, you know, so I'm trying to
Brat
be.
Girl Summer.
Brat
what
girl.
Does that mean?
I don't know
Brat
what that
girl
is.
Summer. But it, actually, that I mean? Shouldn't say that on the on
like
air.
The toys, Brats?
Stop saying it without explaining it.
What is it?
They're smiling at you, by
Charlie XCX's new album.
It's called Brat. And it's a banger.
Sorry I asked.
You asked.
Anyway.
You asked and then you demanded we tell you. Anyway, I'm trying out some new outfits. I wonder what I'm wearing at Gen Con, but I assume it's probably something like this. So get ready for Gen
something
Con.
Huge.
Are we like dressing for Gen Con? Is that a thing?
I have all my outfits
ready. Of course.
Ready.
Wait, for the show or just like walking around on the floor?
Yes.
All of them.
2 hours
yes.
in costume.
I've got all the outfits planned.
Really?
Because what's the point? I mean, I'm going out, I'm going to see people, and I want to
I hope I'm wearing an outfit right now.
I'm wearing a fun outfit.
Yeah. You're wearing clothes.
Is your top button buttoned? Or is it just a high button?
Oh, it's not. Oh, it's the collarless. I like those shirts. Matthew, you have a lot of those, and I like those.
You want to button the top and see how it feels?
No.
Okay. It looks like it's buttoned.
Well,
frankly,
when I get really animated and the air conditioning gets turned off, maybe I'll...
I'm trying to see if I can see a picture in your shirt like a magic eye.
Oh, yeah.
It's an optical illusion.
It's a ship.
It's a sailboat.
Get your dress to kill.
Yeah.
That's an AC/DC funky AT-AT shirt.
For that's those of us who die.
You call them AT-ATs or AT-ATs?
It was always AT-ATs.
Yeah, okay.
Because that's what they said on the commercial.
Oh, yeah.
I would say AT-AT.
Star Wars vehicles.
Because you wouldn't say an AT-AT.
Wow.
You say AT-AT?
AT-ST.
Yes, that's why.
But it's not a word. It's not two words you can say.
Yeah, I know. AT-AT. AT-ST.
What commercial?
AT-AT.
For the toys.
Kenner.
Kenner toy. The most coveted toy by far of like 1980, 81.
Do they never say 82. The name of the...
Not in the films.
They just say Walkers.
Right. They call
Imperial
them
Walkers.
Yeah. Interesting.
I have several of the Kenner, circa 1980 Kenner action figures that have I told the story before? My dad and I used to, this is before the special editions came out and they re-released all the Kenner action figures and
I still have all those in the package.
I know.
Yes, I know you do. But my dad and I would go to
the re-release
flea markets and they would occasionally be guys that would be selling Star Wars action figures. And that was the only way you could get them.
Yeah.
Isn't your whole collection valueless now? Like probably. Because of the re-release or whatever. And isn't there like, everyone hates this stuff now, right?
No, but I mean, it's not, I don't have like Jar Jar Binks. It's all the like,
no, I know, but I feel like all of Star Wars got soured.
No,
there's too much Star Wars now, but like,
I think for the real fans, like they would still like pay through the nose for that stuff. But I think it's like, it's sort of narrowed the fan base a little bit, just like the kind of everything that's gone on the last like 20 years. Whatever.
Yeah.
At the time, they were like the ones that were hard to get were hard to get. Like I would go to toy stores constantly.
Even the re-release ones.
Yeah, the re-release ones because, you know, you could, they'd always
they
be
only printed a certain amount.
A Bespin Luke. But like if you wanted this one guy,
I had Bespin Luke.
You know, you had to, like an IG-88, I'd go there.
IG-88.
I'd look for them and
IG
like pop open boxes. And that was, if you ever saw like a box that they hadn't put on display yet, you could go in there and they would have like one of the one hard guy and like three or four Bespin Lukes. Oh. I mean, it was fun to collect because every time it came out, I wanted to make sure I got all six of them or eight of them that came out. So you I have every what? Single
How
one.
How big are they?
There's value.
Each figure.
They're these guys, this size, 3.5 inches.
6 inches.
Yeah.
Oh, not 6 inches. Though.
Three and a half.
There's some value to these.
Yeah.
I
have every single one.
This is, so I'm looking at a set of, on eBay, of 1990 Star Wars action figures. First issue, Vader, Lando, Yoda, and also Shizor from Shadows of the Empire. So that's what we're going to throw.
Wait, this is the, you have the 1990?
1990s.
Yeah, because I was in
399.99
400 bones?
Are you kidding me? I have multiple.
$3.99.
For, holy shit.
These are all first issues.
And then another 99.
Yeah, that's what I have. I have all the... Wow.
Wow.
You know...
3,000?
You could buy like 10 of those.
Have I told this story of like... I was going into a bodega one night and there were a bunch of cops in there. And
you shot them up.
They, yeah, and I just started,
ran out.
Yeah.
Still, so weird.
Still unsolved. Believe you're talking day. About that.
Yeah. I figure the statute of limitations should be up on the time of this. No, I went in and it's just like, and the cops, I don't know what had happened before I stepped in, but there were some guys like sitting at one of the tables that were like with some beers and like brown paper bags. And they were just like, hey, come on, you know, we're being nice right now. You don't want us to not be nice. All right. And so they're like yelling at these guys. And I'm just like, I just want to buy my like Negra Modelos. And so I go up to the thing. This was like 2014, and I'm buying my beer, and like one of the cops is asking the other one, is like, "What is that new Star Wars movie coming out?" And I was just like, "Oh, that's next December." And he's just like, "Oh, so this guy, get this guy. You a big Star Wars fan?" I was like, "Yeah, pretty big Star Wars fan." It's just like, "Hey, Lou, come here. This guy's a big Star Wars fan." It's just like, "Show him." And this guy, this cop, like he pulls out his phone and he shows me his collection of like Star Wars action figures and stuff. And it's like, he has everything. Like he's looking through this and say, yeah, look, I got an original AT-AT. I got the Hoth playset. I got the Dagobah. You like the Dagobah? I got this.
I
got the Hoth playset. And I was just like, man, that was really fucking cool. And we're just like geeking. And they totally forgot about these guys like drinking beers like, in the corner. And I left. I was just like, all right, have a good night, officer. And just like, yo, may the force be with you.
Oh my God.
Hands down, the best interaction I've ever
That's
had
amazing.
With a cop.
They also couldn't have picked a better like Star Wars fan because you would sit there for an hour and a half just looking at
you would have looked at
happy as a pig and shit.
Individual photos of those and those figures, you would have looked at every single one.
Absolutely. And I did, like, for a while. I was hanging out with him for a while. It's like,
cracked the Negra Modelos. Yeah.
Like, I think there's room in the stable.
You guys all duty? Right back a block away. You guys want to come hang out? Or like,
that's amazing.
It was awesome.
That's great. Sydney, do you have any Star Wars figures?
No.
Kate?
No. I did have a big poster of Luke Skywalker on my wall when I was younger, though.
Oh,
was
you
it
did?
Hayden Christensen? Oh, wait.
Yeah, that was not Luke Skywalker, but...
Maybe a second.
God. Sydney.
2 seconds.
We are losing sponsors.
I think we just flipped roles.
Was it
you know how much Kate loves those movies?
Wait, who was he? He was...
Nobody help her.
Nobody help her. And Matthew, shut your mouth.
It's her only chance at redemption.
It's like watching someone drown.
I will sit here for an hour and a half until you get this.
I've seen every Star Wars movie multiple times. He's not
Clearly.
Luke Skywalker.
He's not.
He
plays...
Not Han Solo. No. That's the other guy.
Throw up.
It's... Not, he's not Obi-Wan.
You have done Look, hundreds of episodes of a nerdy podcast.
Is he Obi-Wan?
Which is saying something.
No.
Is who
he's
Obi-Wan?
Darth Vader.
You're not trying to guess.
Yeah.
He's Darth Vader.
Yeah. Who plays Luke Skywalker?
Ewan McGregor.
Oh my God.
Matt Brody just dropped the camera back there.
He just dropped the camera.
He's throwing up on the camera.
It's Mark Hamill.
Francis just right. left.
It's Mark Hamill. But doesn't Ewan McGregor play him in the later movies?
No! Stop it!
Shut up!
No one has ever played Luke Skywalker except the baby.
Mark Hamill!
I'm saying no one besides Mark Hamill has ever played him except the baby that played him.
And the guy in the Mandalorian.
Samuel
and his stunt doubles.
CGI.
And his various stunt doubles.
Yes.
And Yoda.
And Yoda.
Yoda's actually a puppet.
We are going to take a break.
She knows a lot of the stuff.
Stop. Just stop. We're taking a break. And we're going to watch Star Wars.
Never coming back.
We'll see you guys next week.
So I've spent pretty much my entire adult life living in a city, and I'm painfully aware of pollution there and pollution around the world. And we've taken steps to mitigate that, but I recently learned that indoor air pollution can be up to 5 times higher compared to outdoors. And that's where NeoPX comes in. NeoPX is a bioengineered air purifier, 100% nature-based, designed by PhD scientists. You know, it's not just me living in my apartment anymore. I've got a small child. My wife is here. You know, I feel like we take a lot of steps to stay healthy in a lot of other areas of our life. So why not Also think about that when it comes to the air we breathe every day. NeoPX tackles harmful air pollutants called VOCs, or volatile organic compounds, that come from inside the home, like from furniture or cleaning products, your cooking, or more. So NeoPX is powered by these things they call power drops. The science is in these pollutant-eating bacteria that lives within your plant. How it works is you mix the power drops formula with water and add it to your plant every month to activate the air purification. And NeoPX purifies the air as well as 30 regular houseplants. And it's a more eco-friendly alternative to any electronic air purifiers because this is an air purifier powered by nature. It's electricity-free, and it's in a self-watering planter made from biodegradable materials. And the air just starts to feel fresher. 87% of NeoPX customers feel the difference a week after setting it up. Fight air pollution with nature. And when you purchase NeoPX, you'll receive 6 power drop pouches. And to celebrate the launch, NeoPlants is offering a 7th pouch free of charge. That's one extra month of pure air. Go to neoplants.com/GCN and the code will be applied automatically at checkout. Shipping available within the US and worldwide shipping coming soon.
We're back. I've played with a lot of people at this table for a long time. Some more than others. There are a couple of bugaboos that you got to be real careful with. Mispronouncing a word. If you mispronounce a word, that's like everyone just pounces.
Everyone will always absolutely destroy you.
It's blood in the water.
Yeah, it's just like you mispronounce a word, it makes you not even want to speak. And and that happens from time to time, and you feel like a real dummy, and everyone will let you know. And the second thing is to get nerd shit, bro. And you just...
Foundational nerd shit.
And we talked after, and obviously I made a mistake. And nerds out there, I made a mistake.
Several mistakes.
A few mistakes. But I said
a repeated series.
That I said
confidently.
Confidently. And loudly. And for that, I'm shuffling papers, looking at papers. I'm sorry. I'm here today.
You've prepared a statement.
You needed multiple papers for I'm sorry.
Are you going to spend time reflecting and learning?
Sorry.
Yeah, that's actually all I wrote down. And I will do better. It was Anakin Skywalker.
That is correct. Also, you're very tame speaking to the audience now. But when we were off air, she just yelled, fuck off. Like really loud.
Can we redact that from the record?
And she said, wait, was Luke the one that killed all the kids? She continued throughout the break.
I said, stop intentionally trying to fuck with us. We're not recording anymore.
Yeah, I was like, now you're doing it on purpose. Okay, but she wasn't.
She was.
God, she I thought do. Luke killed all the kids.
I thought Luke killed the kids.
And was played by Hayden Christensen.
There are times that I do love to fuck around. I'm such a shit stirrer. And like when Mandalorian came out, I kept saying that Boba Fett was the Mandalorian and that the whole thing was about Boba Fett.
The dream.
I'm sure Twitter reacted in a very
I wrote it on Twitter.
Reasonable way.
So many people were like, I'm going to kill you. I think it's so funny, but it sucks. You're right. When you're at the table with friends playing a role playing game and you make a mistake, real mistake.
Yep.
I mean, that was kind of a mortal sin.
Yeah.
Pronouncing a word wrong.
It's not like you were like under the lights. Like you didn't have to say anything.
Nope.
Kate was just like, I had a poster of Luke Skywalker and you were like, the Hayden Christensen one. Like you could have just said nothing.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. But I can't, Joe. I am still
curious why Kate had the poster.
We
of
let
Luke
that
Skywalker.
Alone.
Listen,
we should come back to that.
Let's get that done quick. And I think
what we really need to talk about here is how we all are a family and we all are wanting Sydney to change and focusing on her.
No, I want
to
know about
her action.
Yeah,
Was it when he was sweaty, shirtless, pre-motorcycle accident?
I might be confusing.
Was it from Corvette Summer?
Luke Skywalker poster with my Taylor Hanson poster. I might have
from
had
Slapshot?
A poster.
You don't know if you had
both of them.
A Luke Skywalker or a Taylor Hanson?
Listen.
She looks like she's trying to unplug her microphone so that she can't be heard.
Let me ask you this. Was Taylor Hanson holding a sword made of light?
At one point in life, had a Luke Skywalker
standing on a planet?
And a different stage of life, have a Taylor Hanson poster hanging in my bedroom. And before I go to school every day, I would kiss them on the mouth. I would go to school.
Luke Skywalker or
and
Taylor Hanson?
And I'd go like, goodbye, Luke. Goodbye, Taylor.
Wow.
And then I go to school.
Wow. That is an amazing admission.
I love you.
That
And that's how you fall on the sword for your friend.
Really? I forgot all about
no
Sydney.
No one will ever remember the Hayden Christian thing again.
I got you.
But you know what?
Sydney
all,
who?
All those Star Wars fans that were Sydney fans are now Kate.
They're jumping on that ship. Did they? I gotta know. Did they face each other?
No, it was two different times in my life.
Did they get jealous?
Okay. So they were never two jealous. Two different awakenings, yeah. Okay?
Look away, Taylor.
Averse your eyes, Hanson.
Stop arguing. No, stop fighting over me.
Luke Skywalker was first, and then it was Taylor Hanson.
Oh, my. Was it young Mark Hamill? Like, yeah. 80s Mark Hamill? Yeah. Oh,
that's which nowadays, I'm like, ew, like, such a cringe character. He's so annoying.
Course, never but, been an
and, like, Han Solo is way better now that
cutie.
I'm
he was a cutie. I think he was a cutie.
Really?
He looked like a baby.
So. Yeah, I'm not into it, honestly.
Wasn't like a
trivia question
guy.
That you can't answer because I'm sure you know the answer. How old is Luke Skywalker in the first movie? Or is he, how old is he supposed to be?
I think
17?
I think 19? He's supposed to be like, I think in my mind, he's supposed to be like 12 in some ridiculous world, but
I can't follow another story.
16?
I just
he's 17.
16 is the answer.
Okay.
16.
I was guessing real young.
I said that really confidently and now I have to look it up.
Yeah, I think it's 17. But wait, are you talking about the expanded universe in the books? They say 17?
Well, it kind of gets clarified how old he is.
Yeah. And how old is Anakin supposed to be?
Well,
when?
Yeah, when?
When he's the, not when he's a baby, not when he's like.
When he's a little kid?
No,
he's a Padawan?
When he's a teen.
When he's Hayden Christensen.
Well, when he's got the rat tail.
Oh, wait, no. Now, this has been retconned. 19.
Oh, wow. Those are my two guesses, 19 and 16.
Yeah. Right, because of the sex 19. Scene, I wonder.
Yeah.
With Yoda.
Tonight, yeah, right. When he fucks Yoda.
Well, no, I think Yoda, I've seen the pictures, like Yoda was behind Luke.
19.
Yeah, you
bullshit.
Gotta be 19 to get taken from behind by Yoda. Yeah.
Now we're making everybody mad. Now everyone is mad.
Including our
everyone's
sponsors.
Everyone's gonna blame me for this conversation.
Including our sponsors.
Yeah, let's mention
Foundry
our sponsors.
Foundry VTT and Norris Foundry.
I'm sweating. Ugh.
Thank you very much, Foundry VTT.
Yes, yes.
Foundry, for putting up with us.
Yes. Putting up with us. Nobody does it better. Folks, I'm excited for today's app. Today's app, I feel like in many ways, everything has been leading up to this.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I didn't
everything?
Wanna, I don't want to overhype it, but I don't want to underhype it. I want to give it a little hype. I feel like, what is this, episode 45?
45.
Yep. 45. And it's still, you know, all over the place. And I like that. Maybe some people don't. I do think that today has the potential to start funneling in at least a small way.
The rest of the adventure path into focus.
Maybe just funneling a lot of disparate ideas into focus. But who knows? Really don't know.
It's bringing up the targeting screen.
Right.
Yeah.
Here's what I think. Just when you said that, what it made me think of was the curse. The Obnubulate curse. The Shade Wither key. I think maybe we're finally going to get answers about that if we can do this correctly and talk to Genthiel's mom and maybe figure out like the secrets that the elves knew in relation to what we know about Kanipo. Because it's still like we figured out the Kanipo stuff.
Like, I still feel like Kanipo is completely not part of the whole plot.
Yes,
like
exactly.
After
but
this,
maybe he is
in
some way in the part of the grand.
We're
scheme.
Missing another piece.
Like
of
this
the
is
puzzle.
In the Expanse when like you pass a certain point and you're like, oh, this is what the show is about. I feel like that's going to happen.
Oh,
yeah. I think Kanipo is.
It's good, like that reference.
I did.
It was a good reference.
Yeah, I never got there, and so you're.
So you still don't know what the show's about.
Know it's
yeah,
about.
I finished season
stop after
one.
The first season.
Yeah, and yes, no, you haven't gotten to that point.
Yeah,
yeah.
That was the unbearable act.
I think Kanipo is. I think it seems like it's now clarifying to be about the Obnubulate curse, and Kanipo obviously played like that was a big focus for him.
And the gates, like I don't know, maybe we'll get answers about like the gates themselves and why we walked through them in the first place.
Yeah, like why, you know, they were on these other planets. They clearly were using them to do that, but none of the current elves here use them for that, or the ones on Galarian.
And they're like, they don't work. They're just not working. So
right, and they seem to know about this curse, like an ancient.
A soyo
proverb or something, you know, an ancient, you know, the Kaiser Soze, right? The like, you tell your kids, don't rat on your pop.
Yeah.
Can I ask
Black
a question?
Ox, whatever will get you. What's it called?
Yeah. Of those of you who played D&D since time immemorial, that counts you, right?
I'm like, my knowledge of long-term D&D is Sydney's knowledge of Star Wars.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, there's like Starfinder. There was a gap.
There was a gap. Well, my question is, like, would it, it feels like a big leap to me to have gone to another planet and for that to be kind of tied into the main plot. Or am I wrong about that? Or does that feel like it's true?
Traditionally there's always been, or from very early days, there have been sort of allusions and references to this kind of like travel. Like there was another game called Boot Hill that TSR put out in the earlier days of TSR. And there were even the Dungeon Master's Guide from the first edition, there were rules for converting. It's like, in case your Western heroes, like American old Western heroes, come to like your fantasy world, here are conversion rules for this. And actually one of the main characters after whom like a bunch of the spells were named, Merlind, he had a pair of six guns from America's old West. And there was also, I mean, then there was like, Expedition to the Barrier Peaks.
Barrier Peaks, excuse me.
Yeah. Introduced an actual crashed UFO. And then there's Spelljammer, which came a little later, which is like a setting which uses like magical kind of space travel.
I never did Spelljammer. People raved about that.
Barrier Peaks was 1980.
Yeah.
I just looked at it. So Barrier Peaks was 1980. And that's what I remember is like the first time. Spaceship when I went back, because I didn't start playing until late 80s, early 90s. And then I was like, wait, there was science stuff? And they're like, oh yeah, Barrier Peaks, they found a UFO.
Yeah. Well, I ran my dad through that.
Did module. You?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But getting back to this, I think, I don't know if we've said this before, but I suspected, I can't remember how long ago it was, maybe around the time we were dealing with Kanipo. And maybe what might be starting to come into focus here is like, I've been trying to latch on to like, what is this AP? What's the elevator pitch of this AP? How do you just summarize what it is we're playing? You know, what it is we're doing? I've been having a really hard time. I suspect this is total, why did they sit down to make this adventure path? And I think the answer is the elves. And I think that it might be the adventure path, because I don't think they've done this before, that like, does a deep dive into elves and what they are and who they are and their lore in the Galarian universe, in the
their place, Pathfinder their place universe. In the universe. Yeah,
it's kind of like the elves in Galarian are unique in that they are from another planet.
I think they're separating themselves also more, you know, from the lore of elves in Tolkien, the lore of elves in D&D, and they have from the beginning.
Yeah,
but this is, I think, the first adventure path that might really dive into their whole history.
Yeah.
So that's my one suspicion about what this AP is.
Yeah.
So we're like well on the way then to figuring out.
Well, maybe today, maybe something. What Troy's saying today is like we start to see that coming into focus a little bit more, is that it's going to be about elves.
Yeah.
All three books. I don't know. Curious.
It's smiling funny. Over there.
I mean, this is what drew me to this adventure. It's like, just when you think you get your thumb on it, they keep moving the goalposts. Mm. I mean, that's what keeps it exciting for me.
I mean, Giant Slayer moved that way too. Like, I felt like we thought it was one thing, and then you'd finish a book, and it would open up wider, and it would kind of telescope out.
It's the same structure. A lot of the APs follow that structure. The difference with Giant Slayer is like, from each moment to moment, you at least knew what your clear goal was in the immediate future.
Yeah. And also the adventure path was,
and then it took a turn.
It explored giants.
Yeah.
And it was all, you got to, they introduced new giants. They explained in great detail what all the giant species were. You know, they laid it all out in that AP. And I wonder if there's anything like that for elves in this AP.
Mm. No. Mm. It is like Galarian elves are interesting to me because it's sort of a counter concept to the way that elves are normally kind of portrayed. Like, I know in like Tolkien, elves are so intrinsically part of the world that they basically can't leave it. Like their spirits are bound to the world in a way that men's aren't. Like the humans, like their spirits leave the world. They have this mysterious other fate, like after they die, that like no one understands. And in this case, like they're literally like outsiders, like from a completely different planet. Like they're not as tied into the world itself as like elves usually are portrayed as being.
Yeah, I mean,
except in something like ElfQuest, which I don't know if anyone's read it, but that is a great like I think Doug and Wendy Pini, like this comic series that came out. It's like really, really, really good, and that actually is like, so actually they could have been inspiration for the elves in Pathfinder, but
yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, you've been tasked with coming to this ancient grove in search of the most famed scholars from this Oatian culture who, after they pass, they give themselves over to science in a way, having their memories or some part of them preserved in this grove that is guarded by these protectors, these guardians, these gardeners, as the scale scribes described them last week, creatures known as Kalborn. And so you open up these doors with the leaf motif tree on them. You open up these doors. Dust and silt falls from the ceiling.
We're still underground, right?
Still underground, deep underground, at least a mile, if not more. And you see this grove of trees, spindly trees casting strange shadows, shadowy lumps of fruit hanging from the trees, little lanterns hanging from the stalactites in the ceiling. And then three creatures step from the shadows of these trees. They are completely alien, which is not that strange since you are in an alien world, but they're alien even for an alien world. They are spindly. Their arms look like they're almost made half out of bark, half out of skin. They're wrapped in rags. They have huge jaws with long tongues, sharp teeth, and no faces, just a shell with a giant sort of hooded carapace above. They stick their hands into folds within their stomach. Ugh. As they walk toward you. And they all kind of stand upright, stiffen, as it were. And all of you feel a little dizzy. Everyone roll a will save.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Interesting
start. Our save.
Oh.
Don't even want to look at it?
Ew. Ew, gross.
We'll start with you.
A 9. I rolled a natty 2.
A natty 2. 13. 13.
Dirty 20.
16.
30. Oh,
wow.
Thank goodness.
That guy. Ramius locked in.
So, Ramius, you feel your mind start to slow, like almost like time is slowing ever so gently, but then you, like with the training you didn't know you had, you steel yourself against it. Zephyr, you feel as if someone has entered your mind and is kind of like looking through it like a card catalog, and you feel just this like little tickle in the back of your mind, and you just... Everything starts to get a little blurry. The three of you, Buggles, Asta, and Barnes, you have that same feeling, except it's a little more, it almost feels like hands are reaching into the back of your skull and sifting through your brains. You almost start to fall, and that pain goes away. And the three figures... look up, and a voice comes from one of them. It says, "Welcome, scholars. We see the knowledge you desire. The grove contains these memories. But what memories will you offer in return?"
Memories, we choose, we pick memories, so...
Yes.
And do we lose them if we give them to you?
Yes.
They are not copied, they are lost.
They are gone. You will have these thoughts erased from your mind. If someone were to tell you that you experienced these things, you would not believe them.
And this is in exchange. In exchange for the knowledge that... the memories that we seek. There is no other way.
No. Mind you, this is not meant as a hostile act. It is simply the way things are. We maintain this world's grove of memory. We traveled from very far, very long ago, tasked with this purpose. No one is allowed to enter freely. This is the pact that was chosen to be giving access to the wealth of lore contained within. You must contribute to our collective memories.
Wow.
Zephyr steps forward.
What?
And she's like, I have one that I would like to give.
What are you doing?
Well, you don't have a memory that you don't want anymore? That's what we get to do here.
That is the temptation, Zephyr. But be careful. Those memories you do not want, they might be formative.
They make you who you are, Zephyr.
Okay, well then we'll turn around. And we won't get knowledge.
No, I understand. I understand.
I have one as well.
Once harvested, they will be gone. I say this not to frighten you, but to make it clear what the price is to enter the grove. You will not remember this, even as a tickle in the back of your primitive minds. It will be gone.
Zephyr just is like nodding as you keep saying that, and she's just like, yeah.
Hold on.
This is what I want to do.
Is it just one, or for each memory we seek, we have to give another?
Anyone who wishes entry to the grove must give up a deep memory.
It is an offering, yes.
Yes.
Yes. I understand. You are keepers of knowledge. You cannot just take. You must contribute to the greater pool of understanding of our great universe.
Yes, but it is not mere knowledge. It is knowledge encased with an emotion. That is why it must be a memory.
But how do you determine what's viable? How do you determine what's good enough?
You determine that the memory is deep enough. We will both know.
I'll go first. And then you guys can decide if you want to come in with me.
If they do anything.
I hope they do something.
I will kill them.
Oh, like that.
For you.
Okay.
My family.
Right. Uh-huh. And she like steps towards the entrance.
Asta just watches you go. Hands on the katana.
So Zephyr enters the grove, standing next to it. Once again, let's take a look at these guys. It's really not a great depiction based on my description, because they are not as hostile as they are in this stock image. But imagine the same thing, weapons sort of sheathed, as it were, or hanging from a piece of them, and their hands folded into their skin, and they're standing there very austerely looking at you.
You need only think it. Okay. It is gone.
Okay. Should I, like, close my eyes, or... Got it?
If you choose.
All right.
And then you, when you're ready, tell us the memory you give.
So the memory that's playing is going to be after one of... the earlier, like, springtime festivals. Not the one where they were prepping for it, and she was making Ollie the flower wreath, and he rejected it. But before that, maybe, like, 2 years before it, where it's later in the evening at the festival, it's dark outside, people are just out having fun, mingling around, playing games, there's music, people are dancing, people are drinking and eating, and they're up on, like, a hill just outside of, like, the main event, grassy hill, like, maybe under a tree, and they're just, like, hanging out. Maybe they stole some of the wine, and they're young, and they're like, oh, we stole some wine. And they're sitting under the tree, and they're just laughing and having fun, and the stars are out, and he just puts her arm, Ollie, just puts her arm around his arm around Zephyr. And Zephyr's like, oh. And like, you don't hear them talking, you just see the scene happening and like the feeling of it. Because I mean, that's the point of this, right? Is to get rid of the feeling, at least for her. And they just, they look at each other, maybe just a little smooch.
Oh.
And they giggle and they're like, hee hee hee. And they share some wine and they're sitting there and they're just cuddling and watching the party from afar.
It's like Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless.
It is. That is exactly what it is. Yeah.
I've seen that movie.
Yeah. Oh,
I'm ready.
Oh,
I'm ready for this. Eternal Sunshine me. Yeah, and I mean, it worked out so well in the film.
It's
technically
portrayed.
Speaking, what it is, brain damage.
It is. Yeah. They're damaging your brain.
Technically speaking, the procedure is brain damage.
But no more on par with a night of heavy drinking.
Right.
That's a hard memory to lose, because knowing what we know of your backstory, you could easily have lost the one where he says, oh, no, I can't. My parents say I can't.
I think maybe
you
her
chose the good
first
memory.
Thought was like, I want to lose maybe him dying.
Yeah.
Funeral. Oh, maybe lose the memory of him rejecting her right before he died. And she's like, no, I want to lose the memory of when we like started liking each other and I fell for him. And then those subsequent memories hurt me more. So that fixes all of it. Fixes, quote unquote.
You open your eyes, and all three Qalborn have their eyes closed, and they open theirs right after you. Will anyone else be joining her?
I will.
Step forward.
Baron steps forward.
Yes. I hope to contribute something original to your library. Forgive me if you have something like this already.
And he closes his eyes.
Sure.
And we just see, like, it's like, boom, we open up on a child, Barnes. The Barnes, maybe about 11 or 12. Just his face. And it's just pure wonder. He's, like, just looking out. We don't see what he's seeing yet, but it's just this, like, true awe. And then we kind of pull back, and what we're seeing is him standing on the deck of a ship that's sailing around the Isle of Mendigo.
Oh.
Mm. And he's just staring at this, like, true, like, this true natural wonder. And, like, he's never seen anything like this before. It's the first time he's seen anything that of that scale, like, the natural, the true power of the natural world before him. And then his parents are there. We assume they're his parents. They look, kind of look, they kind of add up to look like him. And they're here, and they're kind of, they're hanging on each other, and they're, you know, kind of very affectionate with each other, and they're each kind of peppering him with information about what he's seeing. It's like, this is the storm, it's how it's connected to the death of Aridin. It's this persistent storm, it never stops, hasn't stopped for, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years, right? It's
I believe so.
Over 100 years.
Over 100 years. And it's just like, and then it will spawn little storms, and they're just kind of peppering him with knowledge. And it's like, it's an awakening something in him. You can see it kind of working on his face, the way, like, the more he knows about it, the more impressive and more alluring it actually seems to him. And then also, like, he's feeling this true warmth of their embrace too, like, the kind of the unit of their family in this pursuit of knowledge. Yeah, that's them.
And that's the one you choose.
Yeah.
Give similar to Zephyr. You open your eyes and all their eyes are closed, and they open them. They look past you to Buggles, Asta, Ramius. It can be healing, but sometimes, as we have learned throughout time, wounds are better left to fester.
Buggles steps forward.
Yes. What would you give to us?
And he just, like, he shuts his little eyes, and you see this memory of him caged in the courtyard of this household in Arcadia. And he's been sort of left there with some other goblins that have been captured, like, recently. He's hasn't eaten. He's emaciated. There's this one of the goblins in the cage with him is dead. And the lady of the house is like sort of come out finally to inspect like the new sort of property. And she comes by and she sees Buggles and she like kneels down to look at him and he like recoils. He like scrambles sort of weakly into the back, presses himself against the back of the cage. And she says, "Oh, why?" And he can't understand what she's saying. It's like, it's, "Oh, look at him. Why didn't you tell me? Oh, he's just precious, isn't he? Oh, he's so cute. Just adorable. Nothing, just a baby." And he's sort of soothed by the tone of her voice. And she like starts to open the cage and like her majordomo is just like shakes his head as this now and she's like, it's like, no. And she opens the cage and she's like, "Come, little one, come to me. Come, come, come." And eventually he's like soothed enough, drawn by her, like he sort of like comes up. She says, "Yes, there we are, there we are." She's like reaches out. And she like she holds him like a little baby and he's just like shaking and it's just like this first moment of kindness like in this recent experiences that he's had, like watching his family being taken, killed. And she's just like, "Oh, there we are. Yes, my precious. I think I will call you Buggles. Yes, I think he looks like a Buggles, doesn't he? Oh, so precious." And she sort of holds him out. And she says, "It's the ears, though."
So twisted.
"Just don't like those ugly goblin ears. He'd look more like a real baby if he didn't have them, don't you?" She turns to the majordomo. And says, "Whatever you like, my lady." "Here you are. Here you are." And she like hands him over to the majordomo and he's like trusting her as the and but he's just like gets more and more nervous as she like waves and like she recedes in his vision and he takes him over to this like butcher's block. Ugh. And like lays him down and is like holding his head and he's like starting to struggle and he like takes a cleaver, like this bunch of like meat like around from like the hunting, and he takes it and says, "Chop! And he screams, he's screaming in pain and this feeling of betrayal. And the last moment of the memory is like him seeing his ears being tossed to the dogs to be eaten.
You come back. You stare at these creatures. You have this weird moment where you know where you are. You remember why you're here and the conversation you have had. But you don't remember your name.
And I think in the back of his head, like he hears this other voice. And he understands it. And it says,
"I will protect you. I will protect you as I have done. No matter what they do to you, I will be here. I am your rage. Your fear turned to anger. Your quivering turn to revenge. I am here. I am Kulukan."
They look past the three of you who have entered the room. Only Asta and Brother Ramius remain outside the door.
"That be all."
"I feel like we both have to go in."
"Do we have to. Or could we not wait? Perhaps they can find what they need and we can be out here. And we'll keep watch.
We could. Is that what you'd like to do?
I don't know. I don't.
Would you like to go in together?
I don't think I can go.
Would you like to stay?
Maybe.
I'll go in first. It'll be okay. And Asta kind of pats Brother Ramius's hand and then turns around and walks up to one of the tree bark men people thing.
You stand, moving ever so slightly, staring at you with no eyes. What would you bring us?
Asta breathes in and out and closes her eyes and sort of almost like slides her foot back, maybe instinctually, like in her arcane cascade stance, just to like calm herself down and focus her mind, because this is, I don't know, this is like a monkey's paw. Like, if you think the wrong thought, you know, it feels like Ghostbusters. Like, yeah. You imagine something.
Think about J. Edgar Hoover. J. Edgar Hoover will appear in distress.
Yeah, I think of the Michelin Man, and then it's like,
I
it's
didn't
over.
Choose anything!
The rest of you watching, Asta has her eyes closed, can see that all three of the Qalborn instinctively step back in unison in the same pose that Asta does.
Well, weird. And you see the three kitsune that you saw in the flashback when Asta had ripped a white dress. And these three kitsune look similar to Asta. Some have different coloring, some like copper streaks and gray streaks and a black, you know, patch around an eye. And they're all in colorful, flowing clothing. And you see them like kind of skipping down this dirt, but it's really mud because it's raining. And you see that as the scene kind of opens up, there's a ton of kitsune. And it is a perfectly blue sky and a clear day, but it's raining. And everyone is in these colorful outfits. And it's almost like a parade down this kind of dirt mud street road. And you see all these little hovels around the edges of the road and all these trees and this dense forest. And there's signs and there's like food, and it almost feels like a street fair. And then you see that perspective is Asta's looking out a window of one of the buildings that she's in. And she turns around, and it's the same room as before with the same dress, but the dress is different. It's like a white dress, but it's different. And she turns around to a mirror, and she's younger, but not that much younger. And she's just sobbing, just hysterically sobbing. And she keeps looking outside and looking back at the mirror, and she wipes her eyes and tries to like fix her fur, tuck it behind her ears, and then she undoes it and kind of straightens the front of her dress. She's still crying, and she walks outside, and you can't even tell she's crying because it's raining, and she kind of just looks up to the sky as the rain is coming down. And she's just, her fur is wet, and everyone's wet outside, and they're laughing. And you see this slender, coppery, silvery kitsune, who is also in this sort of white vested robe type thing. And he sort of waves, and she kind of waves. And then you see, like almost like a fast forward, like she walks over and like people are talking, people are laughing, they keep touching them and like talking, and then you see her break this piece of bread almost. It's like a big cookie, and they break it together, and then they eat a piece of it, and the rain is still happening, and everyone explodes and cheers, and there's like silk scarves and all of this food being passed around and drinks, and you see her chewing very slowly. And slowly, and she kind of just like wipes her mouth and you see the pieces of the bread, and she kind of just drops it to the ground and wipes it on her dress. And if you were looking very closely, she's still crying, even though it's very hard to tell in the rain, because everybody is, you know, their faces are wet and it looks like tears are coming down, maybe tears of joy as well. And she just looks back up to the sky and it fades back into blue. Her whole vision just becomes blue.
That's gone. All of you standing in the room and with Aramius peering past Zephyr's shoulder, you can barely see the branches of these trees. We've seen now several of your memories.
All.
Which would be great to get rid of.
I know.
Right?
I'd like to remove the memory of you telling us those memories.
I mean, there's a reason you have become addicted to Flayleaf. There's a reason that you have chosen to escape.
Oh my God, you could solve your addiction to Flayleaf.
Yeah.
Like hypnosis.
Yeah,
I really like it.
Yeah, but like I really taste. Like the flavor.
Like the taste.
I enjoy my addiction.
Flayleaf is not the problem.
He doesn't do it because he has to. He does it because he wants
to. I like it.
You can stop anytime he wants.
Stop anytime I want.
I'll step up. He's got so many concerns here.
But like him walking away from knowledge,
that's what Barnes is like.
Are we just
right,
all like?
But it's also him losing up knowledge, which is
trade
anathema.
A memory.
What is the trade? Like, right. Is the trade worth it for you?
It's not even whether it's worth it for me as much as it is like, are these caretakers worthy of the knowledge?
Brother,
do they use it for the right reasons? You know,
Brother Ramius, are you feeling? There is no. You do not have to come in if you don't want, but you're feeling a little hesitant.
I am. Yes, I spent most of my life being instructed in the ways of the Keeper. The Keeper is the Keeper after all, because he is a Keeper of knowledge. Keeper of the experiences and the memories of generations of people from every part of Galarian. In the hope that one day, when that knowledge is properly shared, we will all understand each other in a way that we've never been able to before. Understanding memory, understanding everyone's emotional history, could help elevate us all to Nirvana.
The way I see it, Brother Ramius, is not giving your memory to this library, but a continuation of that mission. That this knowledge that you give will be shared to a great, vaster audience than will ever be achieved on our mere planet.
He'll walk up.
And the guy shuts the door. All right, that's everyone.
Clink. He steps up next to Barnes. He just says, yes. And looks you like right in the eye. And you see there's like a wetness, a glassiness to his eyes.
Yes, but this sacrifice may be too great. It is, after all, who we are. I can't think of anything that I could forget and still be myself.
I know not what I chose to give up. It's gone now. But I can sense it feels like a promise to me to get home, to see what I saw, feel what I felt again.
And that is my fear. The thing that I am most ashamed of is the thing that drives me. It is the thing that keeps me here. Okay.
Wouldn't that drive you crazy, though? Like, if you did, like, I want to give up this memory, and it's gone, and you don't know what it was, I think that would drive me insane. Like, wondering what that memory was.
Yeah, so I have
a... Right, because other people can tell you, no, you. This is a thing that happened to you.
Right.
But if you didn't tell everyone in the party the thing that you gave up...
You have no idea what it is. And you're thinking, like, what horrible thing, like, happened to me?
Right, and we haven't had a moment to be like, so what did you give up?
What did you give up?
Right. So there's no way to know.
At the same time, I feel like you would remember choosing to give up something. You'd be like,
you would have the memory
process of
giving up a memory, and then you would lose that memory.
And you would know the time. It's not like amnesia. Like, you know leading up to it, and you know after
it.
So you can probably piece together contextually, like, something happened. But the lack of what actually
that would drive me insane.
But you know what, Skin? Yeah. I feel this way every day. I have such a bad memory and it drives me insane. And I thought about that because I was like, how many times have you wanted to remember something and you just couldn't in your real life? And you're like, it's driving me insane that I can't think of this actor or like this thing that happened a few years ago. So,
but this is a thing that you decided, like, I don't want to have this memory.
And it'll never
And it was
back.
Taken from you. And then you know you made that decision, and it's just like that. That's the difference. It's just like,
I mean, it is Eternal Sunshine, right?
That it totally like, is 100%.
Maybe we can get it back. Then they did an Eternal Sunshine. It
that's true.
Really work.
You know the original, the original ending to Eternal Sunshine
is.
We'll talk about it.
Okay,
we'll talk about it. It's I don't want it to be it's spoilery, but it's the original ending is very cool.
Brother Ramis, you step forward just behind Barnes there, and you see these three monsters. You know what I mean? Like, they're monsters. They're talking. They don't talk like the traditional orc or troll. But you look at them and they are hideous. They're everything you have been taught to fight against just based on their mere look.
That's racist.
Actually, yeah.
That is undeniable.
Kind of, yes. But
it was in his abbey. You should have seen the books. A lot of propaganda in his abbey.
A lot of propaganda.
Propaganda.
What kind of abbey were you running?
It's just everywhere that abbey looked the same. No monsters.
Red-pilled abbey.
You close your eyes. We'll be back right after this.
Oh, shit.
We did Joe's memory during the break.
Trust us, you don't want to hear it.
And it was really messed up.
Man, I have to cut it out.
So fucked up.
It was more racist than what I...
It's more
oddly
fitting.
Racist.
Isn't that more fitting than now none of us can remember it?
Yeah.
It's weird. I didn't even think of what it was.
Just boom, open up on Ramius's face, eyes closed.
And a single tear coming down his cheek.
Single tear, and they open in the memory.
The eyes open of a younger Ramius, maybe 9 or 10 years old. And I think this is going to be a series of memories. He's going to give up like a whole sort of gap, which is basically, it all feels like...
You're starfindering yourself?
Yeah. Because there's no way to think about this without putting it all together.
And you're giving up all of it.
He's giving up all of it, yeah.
You were the most worried about walking in here, and now you're like, I'm going to forget who I am entirely.
Voluntarily.
I don't want to give up any memory.
But look,
I want
to give so up much 17. Knowledge.
All of this.
So I want to give up an entire year of my
okay,
life.
Okay, fine. I'll do one.
No, do what?
No, do what you want
to do. What
you
want to do.
Don't let Sydney believe. Funny.
She always bullies me about how to play my character.
It's the jacket.
It's the jacket.
You're so lucky I'm wearing this
counselor?
Jacket.
Counselor?
Counselor?
I can't fight her with those pauldrons. I won't be able to get through.
Objection, argumentative.
All right. There is one chief memory. Yeah, so he'll close his eyes and you see this. You see him, and he's with his parents. And they're both crying. And his mother in particular is just saying, we can't keep doing this. We have to move on. And he, Ramius, is fired up with this fire of youth. And he's just pleading with her. And he's like, I'm telling you, he is alive. I can feel it. He is alive. And she's saying, stop, stop. We can't. He's dead. It's been years. Stop. And he's like, if you won't try, I will try to find him. If you're going to give up on him when he's out there. And she screams like shrilly, he's not out there. He's dead. And she grabs hastily some belongings and leaves the house. And it was the last time he saw his mother. and the end of the memory is his father just looking up at him through like tears streaming down his face and just looking at him and saying, "What have you done?"
Come back. I kept saying they open their eyes and have eyes. That like six times. They have no eyes. Chap has been going crazy. Two of them look towards each other after your memory is digested. No eye contact, obviously. They just kind of regard each other. And then come back to the five of you. Thank you for your offering. You may feel strangely in the coming days for what you have given us will have a ripple effect throughout other memories. But it's not so much a side effect as a reality.
If I may ask a question, not quite sure how to phrase this because it doesn't make much sense to me either, but we haven't been here before, have we?
No.
Are there other places like this that you know of? Other houses of memory?
To our knowledge, no. But it would not surprise me if they did exist.
That is a great question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a fantastic question.
Perhaps we chose to do this before.
You are speaking of your missing moment.
The hall?
Yes.
Can you see that?
How do you know that?
They read our minds.
Can you see what happened in our minds in that time?
It's also blank.
Memories that you have given us are now as gone and you as those moments. That gap is the same.
Good question, Joe.
Bottle cap.
Bottle cap.
Well, in fact, all of you get bottle cap.
Oh, shit. Nice. Winner, winner.
Cool. That was fucking dinner. Cool,
so
man.
Bottle caps. That was,
I think we all earned.
Yeah.
I didn't want to start giving them out one by one because then it'd be weird. It was like, great job, Sydney. And I don't think that.
Well, once Skid went, I was like, well.
Right.
Well,
then I was totally like, do I only give Skid one? Like,
yeah.
So
I got a surgery.
No, I mean, they were all nice. Great. And I love how some chose to be positive memories.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah. Well, I love, like, Kate's reasoning for her, like, lovely memory. I love the reasoning.
It's so, and it's so sad, girl. Sad. Yeah, it's so sad. Girl summer.
Yeah, but I think for Barnes, it was a deliberate choice to choose a joyful memory.
Yeah.
Because, like, for him, it felt like an offering, right? Like, the transmission of knowledge.
Right? They're going to give them something worthwhile for, you know.
This is going to last for centuries, if not millennia. Yeah, something that
if people refer to this, if you want to be remembered for your memory, like, this is a memory I want to be remembered for. Yeah.
It's the teacher in him, right? It's, like, the transmission of knowledge. Like,
100%.
Yeah, to give away that first memory.
Yeah, it's, like, that's the cool thing. Is like, we had different motivations for, like, choosing the memories that we did. Yeah. And it's really cool.
And I think Ramius has thought very carefully and very strategically about his memory because he's on this mission to find his brother who he truly believes is alive and he saw in the gate. And if this leads him to that, well, now his motivation is doubled down because he needs to find his brother and find out what happened to his parents because he doesn't remember.
Mm.
You know, like,
yeah, it was a very interesting choice because you didn't choose to forget that you think he's still alive.
Yeah.
You just choose to forget
how I got from basically.
You kept pushing that and how it pushed your mother away.
And it pushed, eventually it led them to taking him to an abbey.
Right.
You know what I mean? So like he doesn't understand why his father one day just like dropped him at this abbey. He doesn't understand why whatever happened to his mother.
Yeah.
So and now he doubles down his motivation.
When they talk about that ripple effect, like think about how the memory you removed will affect other pieces of other memories. Because you won't forget the other memories, but you might forget the context. Yeah. You would have no context for certain things. So that's something for you to kind of think about in your role play.
It's putting me in the mind of Blade Runner, as most things do eventually. What does it mean to be human? And one of the things that makes us human and able to sort of cope with the experiences we have is our memories. And like, what do we lose if we lose a memory?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I thought about all the bad ones.
Like tears in the rain.
All those moments.
Yeah. I thought about the fire. Like it easily get rid of that. You know what I mean? But then it's like, not honor the memory of all those people that died, you know what I mean? And then what? Get out of this, finish this, and be like, and return to the Abbey, right?
Right. Like, hey, what's up? How you guys doing? Yeah. Whoa, what happened here?
So it's like, man, that was a great question.
Yeah.
You know, a great thing to put.
Also, not to deter your
PCs.
Your gate moment motivations, too. Like, I chose one that's related to it, so it might get weird for Asta, because it was like a pivotal thing that kind of made her think a certain way. And now I got to do some character thought.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is going to change her mind, maybe. I was
trying to do the least amount of character work.
I see.
I was like, let's fuck some shit up right now.
Yeah. Let's stop
that's
around.
That's very Zephyr, though, right? It's very Zephyr, though, right?
Yeah. It's what she would do, but it's also, I'm just kind of like very excited, like, ooh, how is this going to change everything?
Yeah.
So.
They all...
Well, I'm sorry. I have a follow-up question for you. Does that change how sad you are about him?
I think it makes you angry and not sad.
Yeah, I think...
But would you be as angry?
You still remember feeling sad when he left the wreath or when he said that. So you remember that, but you may not remember...
You don't remember the good times.
You don't remember the good times.
Does it lose some of its sting? The bad times?
Oh, that's so eternal.
Maybe that's what happened. I don't want
to get rewatch it.
Maybe you're processing too.
I'm going to rewatch Zephyr's memory.
And maybe how it affects other things like Lucky or going forward. Yeah. Who knows?
I thought about just forgetting one of my failed medicine.
Right? Yeah.
I'm the greatest doctor.
And then I was like, I don't think that's going to be deep enough.
Right. I think we should all just remove all the memories we have about Lucky.
Yeah, I thought about Lucky. I thought very long and hard about Lucky.
I thought about Lucky too, but I was like,
I have her ashes.
And
I was
like,
what's this? I thought it would be really weird for Brother Ramius to be like,
give it to the mushrooms.
Why am I carrying this trash?
What's this trash?
What interesting role play if like Zephyr brings up Lucky, you're like, who? And Zephyr's like, did you
like one of
that? I could just get rid of Lucky, and that would make interesting role play. Going
for
like,
it'd have been weird.
Oh, you can't get rid of Lucky though, because Lucky is like you. That's what galvanizes you.
It's
that's
like,
what gives you. That gives you as much a reason.
I'm not
to move
interested
forward,
in that PvP conversation. Not that it would be combative, but I'm not interested in it.
But losing Lucky, losing Talitha. Has taken like a personal journey into like a group journey. You know what I mean? Like you all want to find your memories, but now you're doing it for Lucky. You're doing it for Talitha.
And it would also be a really bad idea strategically, I feel like, to get rid of another gatewalker just in case you see something during this that could clue you into what's happening. You
absolutely.
Know? But you would have no memory of that person.
Yeah. True.
Are you ready to enter the groove?
Yes.
Yes.
Actually, I feel quite.
Yes.
Quite excellent.
I'm ready. We're looking for.
Iscariot.
Oh.
I know.
They read.
Oh right, you read. Sorry. I feel like my brain's on fire.
We know who you seek.
Could you point us to her?
This way. And they all turn in unison and begin walking deeper into. This miniature forest, this orchard. And as you start to walk into the grove, you realize that the darkened shapes that look like odd lumps of fruit from a distance now reveal themselves to be severed heads.
Oh.
And you see that each tree contains like the severed heads of elves, multicolored humanoid heads. With prominent antennae, insectile heads like giant ant people, strange heads that appear to be almost entirely brain. Like there's some sort of form to them, but it's almost like an exposed brain and all manner of things. And each of the heads rests in a cradle of branches, like a jewel. Like a jewel in its setting, like in a ring. And it looks as fresh and as peaceful as if it were sleeping, even the stranger heads that are like the exposed brain and the ant head. There are tiny shoots pulsing with faint silver light extending from the tree into the necks of each of the heads, just like these little, little lights going into each head. And they lead you to a tree towards the middle of the grove, and you see it bears the head of a raven-haired female elf. And as the gardeners touch one of the branches, the elf's eyes snap open, and her head begins to glow with silvery light as she speaks. She's not looking at any of you. She's kind of looking beyond you. And as she speaks, the Callborn proceed, give you space. And she says, "What knowledge do you seek?"
"We seek to save the life of an elf who has come into contact with the Shade with a key."
Zephyr holds it up from her neck.
"She's sick with Soyo, the Black Frost Whale."
"May I see the key?"
"Yeah, sure." And she takes it off.
"But don't touch it."
Holds it closer.
She has no hands.
To she's the not, head.
"Don't touch her."
"Well, she
don't.
Said see." I thought like,
"Well, see, don't touch her."
Closer.
She's already dead.
"Please, closer."
"Okay, here, closer."
Zephyr walks up, holding it inches away. And she looks not at it, but beyond it, just like she looked at you. "Yes. In another time, feeling arising from this key would have disturbed me. I don't have the ability to feel that anymore. This key carries with it the echoes of an old enemy. Soyo, Black Frost Whale. The imprint is muffled, as if only clinging to the edges of the key. What happened? What do you know of this key and the power it possesses?"
Well, the power that it just exhibited, an elf touched it.
"A lily.
And started withering away."
"She's a priestess.
Do you know her?"
It's connected somehow to something called the Omnobule Curse on the planet of Galarian."
"I do not know her. This Nobulet Curse that harmed your friend, Aleli, the elf. Soyo's mark does not seem to be causing this curse, but is rather trying to negate it."
"Wait, I don't understand. She touched the key and then started to wither."
"Millennia ago, the Soverian elves encountered a psychic whale in a vast canyon filled with a magical sea of mist. This massive ice-blue whale floated through the air as easily as it were water. Those who encountered the whale and inhaled its chilling, shadowy vapors developed paranormal powers. But unfortunately, they also lost control of their minds, becoming potent yet senseless thralls.
Sawyer's victims breathed out a chilling black dust that imparted the same terrible affliction to all who inhaled it. Fearing this whale's power, the high families of El knew that this entity was far too dangerous to remain anywhere near the elven capital. So at great cost, these elves subdued the beast, shackled, and shuttled it to the crown of the world.
My God.
There, on Galarian's ice cap, they sealed it shut. I believe this imprint of a Soyo on the key is somehow tied up both with this curse, this obnubulate curse, and what has affected each of you. You all bear an imprint as well.
An imprint of what?
You have
of Soyo
gone through an experience, a similar experience.
Yes.
What happened?
The gates, Yayudara, they opened.
On one night in Galarian, they all, many opened.
And we disappeared.
We disappeared for 3 months.
Stepped through.
All separately, all in different places. We have no memory of what happened after stepping through the gate.
And some have not returned.
Those who returned, were they changed? Were you changed?
Yes.
Yes.
Some of us.
All of us.
Not all of us.
All of us.
In what ways?
I have no idea. You're all special.
Sometimes when I get really, really mad, my limbs grow and break and I get strong for a second. But it's pretty chaotic.
I have this mark. Asta shows the mark on her neck.
It looks beyond you. What other ways have you been changed? Do you have?
I haven't told any of you
powers
this.
Such as hers?
I can shoot energy beams out of my hands.
What?
This is
what?
Not something you could do before.
No, not really.
What kind of energy?
It's complicated.
It's weird that you wouldn't mention this to your friends.
Well, I'm a little embarrassed of it. I only discovered that I could do it recently.
It's pretty cool. You should tell your friends that you can shoot energy beams.
Real? Can you crush it?
Well, sometimes I can do it, but it hurts me, so...
I see. Well...
I can do that, too. But the ability is sort of redundant with the abilities that I already had when I stepped through the gate, so I'll never use it.
An oversight by the writers.
I don't have anything.
You.
He's going to enact his power.
Oh.
What's your power?
His hand reaches out, and this ghostly hand comes out from it and stretches some distance away from him. Kind of paws at the air. He's just like, it's like I needed to catch something.
And your friend, right? As you told me that time, the one who just recently died, she could step onto the ethereal plane for an instant.
Yes. She would blink out of existence.
Very good memory, Barnes.
You told me I remember things you say. We're friends, we're family.
We're family.
Family.
Excellent listener.
I'm surprised none of you mentioned it right now.
and the cat.
Yeah.
The cat.
There's no time to talk about her.
Get the cat.
Must move on.
Forget the cat.
Just forget the cat.
She had something similar.
Please stop talking about that. Allergic to the story. The fact that you developed supernatural powers from this lost time of yours concerns me deeply.
Oh, yes. Yes. We may have come in contact with this Soyo.
Yes.
Yes.
Combined with this marking you have. This is something you all share.
Yes.
Yes.
See, any of the elves that came into contact with the vapors, you said they became thralls to Asoyo. Yeah,
you also said they gained some supernatural ability. Did they also lose their memories?
They were mindless.
Did any of them, were any of them able to survive or retain their memories or wrest themselves free from Asoyo's control?
To my knowledge, no.
I just want to clarify, when you say whale, do you mean the animal?
Well, it's, yes.
A big whale.
Yes.
Came.
What kind of whale?
Through the air and breathed on a bunch of people. Elves, sorry.
It sounds strange.
It sounds ridiculous.
Not people, elves.
Yeah, sounds that part.
Really incredible.
Yeah, talk about racism.
So it's
what kind of whale? Humpback?
We're sperm. After a whale? We're whale hunting.
Belugas?
Long ago, the world was different. Both this world and yours. Creatures of unimaginable power and size roamed amongst the common folk. The fact that Soyo's mark is on this key and perhaps on you, and tied up in this curse, I believe you have been exposed to the Black Forest Whale's influence. How exactly Asoyo could be involved is beyond me, but all of these mysteries must be tied together somehow.
Are you familiar with Kanipo?
Kanipo.
Shadow creature who...
Slim.
Kanipo the Slim?
Kanipo used the key to travel between planes.
They threat.
Shadow. They called him...
Long ago.
Slim Shady.
No. Yes.
Or was he the real one, is the question.
They should have called him Slim Shady.
They should have.
Kanipo, yes, was imprisoned.
Yes.
Locked away in a plane of their making.
We've been there. Not we, they. They've been there.
Yeah, he doesn't know shit.
I don't know shit about
that. Is that true? He keeps talking.
But he doesn't
know. He doesn't know the whole story.
He wasn't even there.
I'm repeating their story that they've told me.
We.
I'm a recorder. It's in my blood.
Not him. We defeated Kanipo.
I see.
And took the key.
I heard it was the one that you lost. Talitha that held him with the killing blow. But who am I to say?
Ignore that.
Again, incredible memory, Barnes.
Incredible.
You've had two nights rest with this man.
We must have talked
I'm a
nonstop.
Scholar. I'm a scholar. I write things down.
I see.
Apparently we can't stop talking about how great Talitha was.
It's weird that you keep talking about that.
And yet we don't talk about the cat at all. It's weird.
Who's the cat?
What cat?
We didn't talk about... Lucky at all to you?
He has no idea. All we did was talk about how great Talitha was.
Yeah, she was very lucky up until the end.
I'm sorry. This is all very... This is a lot to take.
How are we to
But say unless it? I'm misunderstanding Barnes, can I fucking finish?
I'm just saying this.
Did you not talk about Talitha? For 2 seconds. So I could talk to
possibly
the
not talk about Talitha for 4 straight seconds. I'm sorry about him. He still do not have an answer to last question about the elf. Do you know of a way that we can help Aleli? We must cure her of this quickly, or we cannot return to Galarian. We cannot find or find out anything more of Asoyo.
Her eyes go up into her head.
Whoa. No, wait. Oh, shit. Don't.
Wake
her back up.
Wait, you
did. She liked the stories about your old friend.
We had to go talk about all that.
That kept her awake.
Burns.
Yes, she's a big Talitha fan.
This combination of magics gives me an idea. Cure. You didn't know better. It's almost like the tiniest little sign of emotion, like the tiniest little crinkle of a smile. Ask Genthiel, my son, to consult the third restorative formula from my 7th lab journal. But scrap the peony seeds and the azata tears and sub in water from she who walks through seasons.
Could you say that again?
Just real quick, if we say that nonsense to Gentile, he'll know what it means.
Wait, wait, I'll tell you more stories about the girl they lost.
The Cauldron come up. That is all the time you have.
I wanted to know about the key and why it didn't
affect me. I said that's all the time you have.
Can we keep talking? If I give you a lucky memory, I'll just...
Got a five.
You got a five.
You like palm him a copper piece.
Right. Attach the brands again.
Say that part again.
What?
I wrote it down.
Oh, I wrote
peony
it down.
Seeds.
No, I got
Don't
it.
Don't you write things down, Barnes?
Yes, but I only got as far as the peony seeds.
I asked Gentile to consult the third formula from the seventh book, but scrap peony seeds and Azada tears and subwater for she who walks through seasons. It's not that hard.
Wow.
Hello. Subwater and she.
Bottle cap.
Bottle cap.
No, sub the water from she who walks through seasons.
Subwater water through.
From she who walks through seasons.
All right, you got it. Like submarine water?
Yep. I wrote down submarine water.
Okay.
We touch her again to go
is
to
she,
sleep.
No. Oh, is she still awake? I wanted to ask about, is this a Soyo curse? Why I can touch the key? If other half-elf or elf touches this, will this happen?
Yeah.
It's an excellent question.
Because you already have it?
I don't want to start letting people touch it.
Yeah.
I've been touching it the whole time.
Because you're already...
The fact that it has not affected you, but has affected your friend, Aleli, the elf, leads me to believe you are on the right track. Something that happened to you when you passed through this Ayudara and were touched by Osoyo has protected you. Not unlike this imprint, which, as I said, seems to be negating the curse. Something with your passage through and back has given you protection. She doesn't have an arm, so I guess that's the branches of the tree.
Gesture. Wait, important question. The High Families.
The High Families.
When they battled Osoyo, how did they defeat him?
It is unclear. That story has been protected by people beyond my scope.
Are there any other heads we can talk to that might have more information?
It's Tom back there. Tom would... Tom's not.
Just Tom.
He's just... What, is he out?
No, I think they... I think he's being cleaned.
Well, will he be back?
They take the heads out every once in a while.
Well, will he be back soon?
Hey, is Tom coming back? And the calm one's like... Tom's not coming back.
Ever? She turns to the Cauldron. Ever?
Have you heard anything that might help us?
No, the battle with the Soyo was something that affected the High Families and the societies of elves in ways that needed to be protected.
Wait, I'm sorry, the elves of Castrovel or the elves of Galarian?
The elves of Sovirian.
Sovirian.
That's the city we're in.
No.
Oh, I fucked. No. Hold on.
Stop it.
Sometimes, again, it's best if you just shut up and just not have to say something every second.
Sorry, we're in Los Kilura.
Los Kilura.
Right at this, and Hayden Christensen played.
We're on Castrovel.
Los Kilura.
Hayden Christensen played Star Wars.
But you said that
Sovirian was a elven refugee site on Galarian.
Okay. So Osoyo was always on Galarian, was never on Castrovel.
Osoyo was always on Galarian,
yes.
And not on Castrovel, ever. Yes.
For the elves left your world to come here. Again, this was millennia ago.
It would have to be 10,000 years or more.
Well, they left in anticipation of Starfall, right?
Well, that is the story. I wonder if this is saying they might have left for a different reason.
Oh, yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
But Starfall was, what, 10,000 years ago, we believe, right?
No, it wasn't that. I don't think it was. I think it was like 7,000, something like that.
Okay.
Yes.
But this would have happened before they left, like just before they left.
Yeah.
At some time before they left.
The knowledge of the battle against Osoyo is heavily guarded. I am one of few people that even know of Osoyo's existence. There are reasons for this that you may discover. and I never did.
Interesting.
But Genthiel knew. The elves here know of Asoyo, correct?
Told my son of Asoyo. Bedtime story. Help, then go to sleep.
So, if we tell Genthiel to make that concoction, we can save the priestess?
We think you're right. Yes.
Mr. Vod, ask my son.
Sorry. We will ask them.
Tell him.
We will ask. I was just speaking hypothetically.
Music says otherwise.
I shed a single tear. My brain is so confused about my own memories.
You ask my son.
Your son. I ask your son.
I heard he likes to be told what to do.
Barnes.
How do you know that?
Francis is so into this sex shit, man.
How does Barnes know all this information? Who's talking to Barnes?
I just read people. I'm good with people.
Yeah, he's just...
I have a +4 charisma.
And you could tell that?
You tell he's into that?
He's into that.
You get a certain sense.
She looks at the mom, though. Is he right?
What?
Are they into that?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Please. No, we never talked about that.
Okay.
I'm his mother. Not one of his barroom buddies.
Just want to make it clear. I have no...
I have a 0 in charisma. I just want to make that clear.
We were close, but not that close.
Not because of me.
I told him about Asoyo. I didn't ask him about what he did on a Saturday night.
Fair enough. I don't know. Should we walk away?
They're a very nice person.
Good.
They seem good. Should we tell them anything from you? Hello?
They seem to be doing well.
They sent us. Would you like us to relay a message?
Yeah, we could tell them you say hi or you love them.
Was there Asta, please.
Sorry.
Was there any known... Keep your questions on point. Only concerning the plot, please. We have precious little time.
What's more classic than just getting in the weeds with a dead person in a role-playing game?
It would be such a nice thing to do. This is why when you like raise the dead in D&D, you have like 5 questions only. Yeah. You just stop talking to them.
We can't afford to look at their watches.
Yeah, we can't be limited.
Five questions. What kind of sex stuff are you into?
As long as anyone has spent in the grove.
They're walking around the grove putting chairs on top of
the table. The guys have to deposit some more memories.
Keep talking.
They've turned the forest
the lights are on.
Are you guys still here?
Music
the cooks are leaving. Closing time's playing.
Deposit 3 more memories.
No, but seriously. Did we ask or did we get any info as to Asoyo's connection with the gates?
No.
Asoyo's connection with Ayudar. We don't
Scario
know anything about
doesn't
that.
Doesn't know that.
Okay.
Yeah. The fact that they're connected in some way she thought was strange, and so she thinks because of that this magical concoction may help because they seem to be tied together, but she doesn't know why.
And just to be clear too, because we did ask about Kanipo, but I want to make sure I'm not missing anything. Asoyo is not like a shadow creature. Like there's no connection between Asoyo and Kanipo or like the Thin Lands or like
Kanipo was like
a straight up side quest.
Sounded like someone. Oh yeah, Kanipo.
Not involved.
I remember the elves
that fucking
fought
dealt with Kanipo.
Yeah, the story. The
question.
Okay. Yes.
In your knowledge of the Ayudara, can they be retargeted, realigned from Galarian to point to a certain location? Could it, someone, an elf perhaps, be able to control the Ayudara to activate them to direct us all to one spot, perhaps? Half the world.
When Ayudara were built, the initial desire was for them to be able to travel anywhere. But eventually, they became locked into certain places. That being said, they can be diverted.
Realigned.
What would it take to do that? Powerful magic or just someone with the engineering know-how?
Magic points beyond, to the key.
Magic beyond my knowledge.
Perhaps the key.
There's someone on Galarian who seeks to free Arroyo.
Soyo?
Soyo.
Soyo is
Arroyo is someone else.
Bronson Arroyo, the Cincinnati Reds pitcher?
Doing it itself.
Either way,
a Met killer. I'm a Red Sox.
You know what? I think that this is
Bronson Arroyo, the Black Frost whale.
Bronson Arroyo.
To a Mets fan of a certain age, it really didn't feel that way.
He was a Red Sox pitcher. Did he pitch for the Red Sox?
Yeah.
To check too, is Skywatch the city in Brivoy? Is that near the
Crown of the World?
Yeah.
No, not really. Okay. Like nothing's really near the Crown of the World except the other shit all the way at the top, right? Like.
I can't tell you how excited I am to go back to the
Dude, Crown if we go back there, that is so dope. We're going straight to, what's it? It begins with a K, right? What's that city?
I only got the end of that part, so I never got to the city.
Wait, in what?
In Jade Region.
Of course, he was on the World Series team.
Mm-hmm.
It's so funny how we talk about stuff. Yeah. Like, sometimes it
but
sounds
he
like...
Play, he did play for the Reds.
And he was, most of his career spent with the Reds.
Yeah.
We're like restaurants we go to on tour and places we love. We talk about that like in Galarian. We're like, we go
to the Crown of the World. We got to get those tacos.
Gotta go to that city that starts with a K.
Karlsgaard.
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 I ran a Pathfinder Society scenario in Karlsgaard.
Karlsgaard? Pretty sure it's Karlsgaard.
Something like that.
And Earthfall, not Starfall, because there's a city named Starfall. Earthfall was the event, the cataclysmic event. Earthfall was about 10,000 years ago. So, you're right.
Karlsgaard, yeah.
All right. I can't think of anything else to ask.
Yeah.
Me neither, but you know, okay, so I think Brother Ramius is going to turn at this point and be like, I think we finally have something to go back to the doctor with.
Oh, right.
If we can get Aleli back healthy enough to find us a way home, this news would be very, very welcome to him.
I would like to meet this doctor.
We veered so far off the path that I forgot that was the path.
Yes, but now we have something.
Dr. Riddle,
something solid.
Unless if we travel back to Galarian, the easiest thing to do would be to travel to an Iudara at the Crown of the World.
No, perhaps Dr. Riddleson is not available, but... We just chase after Arroyo with no more information? Osoyo with no more information? You guys fucked it up. I was not saying Arroyo until you started that shit.
No, it's my fault, but...
It's canon now.
Could be too dangerous to go straight for Bronson Arroyo.
Let's
find out more information.
Wait for the seventh inning, at least.
Yeah, don't pull him yet.
No, but I think...
He's only got 90 pitches. Let's leave him.
All right, can we go, please? Can we please?
We leave. We
wait,
go.
Wait.
Is this it?
Wait.
Yeah.
You asked me if I wanted to say anything to my son.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I'm sorry about that. They were my pride and joy. They still are. I did not know I would ever have the chance to speak to them again. Tell them I said, hey.
No wonder he didn't want to adventure down here.
For that. I'm sure
you drink it, I would have got you.
I'm sure they'll know what that means.
You laugh before you even got to
telegraph that one.
But Asta, very somberly.
Is that somehow meaningful to the two of you?
She nods somberly. Of course.
I hadn't really thought about it. Hey.
What's up? Like that? Hey.
Hey.
Yo. Okay. Maybe like, hey. Maybe like, just like, I'm proud of you, something.
Oh, that's good. Why'd I choose hey?
That's so much better than hey.
Combined and they still are.
Hey. Kind of impersonal.
Hey,
to say.
Comma. I'm proud of you.
Hey.
Do that.
Maybe visit your mother sometime.
Okay. Well,
okay. See, now
you're getting into the.
Wait a minute.
Maybe visit your mother's severed head in a tree once in a while.
Probably why he didn't
give up a core
here.
Memory to in come his, see me.
In his defense, we did have to kill several terrifying monsters.
Oh, so the way is clear.
Yes.
Somewhat.
By the way, I've been meaning to tell you, and he turns to these, what are they called?
Callborn?
He turns to the Callborn. He's like, some horrible six-eyed mole shits. In you gotta clean this place out. It's really disgusting.
You gotta send a crew or something.
Yeah.
We protect station. The grove.
Can you station a guy out there?
You should leave.
Okay.
There were some people out there pretending to be your secretaries.
What? Yeah. They asked us for an appointment.
Wait. The snake people?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like taking appointments in your name.
Jarvis. Oh, fuck, we kicked them out. This guy's trying to come to the ground. We kicked them out. I said our secretaries.
Yeah, they're trying to get money and information. We killed Jarvis, though. He's super dead.
I like how these guys are from the
they
East.
They were drunk.
They were drinking.
Drinking.
They touch our booze.
Martinis.
Wait,
What are they doing in our booze room? They go storming out into the.
They're like, oh, what happened to this place?
Oh, fuck, where's all our fucking
booze?
Oh my god.
Bye.
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 Scariel's eyes go back up and she falls limp. They shut the doors.
With us inside?
Nope, with you outside.
Okay.
We're gone.
Back in the wine cellar.
Let's get back to Gentheo and deliver that intensely personal message.
And the recipe for the...
And the recipe for her...
And the recipe? For her
early salvation.
All wrote down. Yes.
What was it again? Was it?
I have it.
Hey.
Just keep walking.
Oh,
hey. Oh, the message?
I'm proud of you.
The message was
maybe
hey.
Visit your mother sometime.
I'm proud of you.
The way is clear.
Gentile is her pride and joy in this, Solar.
Yeah.
And then also, hey.
And also, hey.
You wind your way back through the cavern. Eventually, come to the surface. There are no elves there to greet you. They walked you there, but you can, without even rolling survival checks, find your way back to the Oasian settlement. And maybe there's like a guy on the outskirts who sees you first. It says, "They've returned! They've returned!" says it in their dialect of Elven. And you just see all of the elves sort of gather and watch, and they part, and Gentheal steps out, and we'll see you next
time. That's gotta be.
We're gonna drive that role play into.
Yeah, exactly. We gotta stop there because this is gonna be too punchy
for that. Here we go. You see all of us mouthing the word "hey."
Yeah.
Hey.
What did she say?
Hey.
It's very powerful. Hey.
Too powerful.
He sobs.
That was our word.
That was our thing.
It's time to make your membership official. Become an official member of the NAISH today at jointhenaish.com. That's jointhenaish.com, where you'll get access to exclusive podcasts and live streams you can't find anywhere else. See what everybody's talking about and join the NAISH today at jointhenaish.com.